Let's catch up.
An NFL podcast with Taylor Bisciotti
and Sam Batesh,
where we talk about the biggest headlines in the NFL.
So, Taylor, you know what? Let's catch up.
It's been too long.
Yeah, we really should.
Blue Wire.
Taylor, let's catch up. Give it to me. You are SoFi. Let's go.
Sam, first of all, it's been 2 weeks too long, because we have some exciting news from you. The only reason why we would ever take a week off of Let's Catch Up is if something was really earth-shattering. And this is so exciting. So congratulations. Sam is a new, proud father of a son, a little baby boy. Unfortunately, he doesn't have a name yet, so anybody can send him recommendations.
He's to be named. This is the epitome of a player to be named later. This is the baby to be named later, Taylor. And we just don't know. You know, look, sometimes in life things happen a little sooner than you expected to. And here we go. So thank you so much. Yes. First time father.
I'm glad that you're talking baby. About the birth of the baby rather than your relationship right there. But anyway, anybody can send in their suggestion for baby names. I suggested Lamar.
I would say after what happened Sunday night, that should be in heavy consideration. But yes, Allie and I are just not there yet with the name. And so we're putting it out there. I think everyone that's listening at Let's Catch Up can just help us come to this very important and critical decision. And, you know, Taylor, it's one of those things in life, we make a lot of decisions, right? I mean, in a day, you make a number of decisions. And then there's those certain crossroads in life when you know you're making a big life decision. And it doesn't dawn on you until you're sitting there looking at a baby and saying, this is going to be what people call you for the rest of your life. And it's on me and Allie right now. And it's okay. So it's clearly gotten
regardless of whatever you all choose to name your perfect newborn son. I know that you're going to be the best dad and Allie's going to be the best mom. So congratulations. I'm so happy.
Thank
for you.
Thank you. Thank you, Taylor. Thank you to everyone at Let's Catch Up. We are thrilled and it couldn't be more exciting. Yes, and it's the only reason. We never put week one to bed properly. We were so excited after the Bucks and the Cowboys. We talked all about that. And then we had huge plans to actually talk after your Ravens-Raiders game on Monday night. We said, all right, Tuesday we're doing this. And then last Tuesday became nearly the craziest day of my life for what we just talked about. But here we are. Now week two has, of course, a Monday night game still to be played, but we just saw a crazy Sunday night game and you were
week two was crazy. I thought week one was crazy. We all thought that was a surprise for a lot of those games. And then week two, I feel like shocked us with even more surprises.
It was so special. And Taylor, you were at a game that was just back and forth and weird. And my guy Dak wasn't even very good, but I mean, you were at that Cowboys Chargers game, which had so much hype coming into it, lived up to it in every way. But you got to tell me and everybody else, what was that like? Because that game could have, I mean, that game is going to be defining in so many ways this season. And it was right down to the wire, right down to the final second. I mean, what was it like being right there?
Well, that's my specialty is final possession games with the Chargers. I teeter both sidelines. I never know who's going to win. It's really great as a sideline reporter. You know what team you're going to get and what questions you can ask. So you're used to just running out on the field at the very last moment.
Let's explain to
people. It was so
exciting. Taylor, I want to take a second and explain to people what happens here behind the scenes. All right. Because this is kind of exciting.
Well, last year it was even harder because we didn't have fans in the stands and we couldn't be on the field. So we're like 40 feet away from these guys. I'm elevated in the stands while they're on the field. They can hardly hear me. And I'm literally at the goalpost just waiting to go to one side or the other. And as we know, the Chargers have all one score, like final drive game enders.
And we thought it was on Anthony Lynn, but now Staley's got one under his belt of just coming right down to it.
I don't know. See, I'm going to agree with you a little bit because I think the Cowboys are a really, really, really good team. We knew that this was going to be a high scoring game because of both offenses are so strong and powerful. And they've got two of the, you know, most dynamic quarterbacks in Justin Herbert and Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott didn't have as good of a game today as Justin Herbert did, but we knew it was going to be high scoring. But what was so surprising to me was that how many big plays that the defense made on both sides, on both the Cowboys and the Chargers. Micah Parsons going and changing positions. He was getting so much pressure on Justin Herbert. And we can kind of blame that on the fact that Brian Bulaga was out, Storm Norton was in. But I was impressed with the way that Justin Herbert was able to adapt and get the ball off as quickly as he could and still make as many incredible plays as he did. One huge factor in this game was penalties. I think at the end of the game, there ended up being 20 penalties. I've never seen that many in a game.
I just can't stand touchdowns being taken off the board. Is just one of those things in life that, you know, as a fan, we want to celebrate massive plays. And of course, a touchdown in a game is a massive play. And when there isn't an obvious penalty on a touchdown, it just feels like anyone else watching the game is just being robbed of the emotion of the moment, right? It's like, it's almost like, hey, by the way, the thing that your eyes just told you saw, it didn't actually happen. What? Why?
Well, and the explanation time I will fight you on this one is when the Ravens were playing the Raiders on Monday night and they took their touchdown away because I thought the game was over. But then it ultimately ended up being like getting broken up with twice because it hurt really bad the first time. And then it hurt even worse the second time because, you know, you had a little bit of inkling of hope that it just might work out for you.
I'm okay. Look, if somebody's short of the goal line, in most cases, I'm all right. If you're gonna freeze frame that and show me that somebody is just short of the goal line, okay, go ahead and put the ball at the 1-inch line and let's play it. But the Cook touchdown, it's just brutal. When you're taking points off the board,
I did have to see some of the comments on Twitter before I was actually able to watch it because I was at the stadium so early this morning. And so, of course, at SoFi, there's the incredible Oculus. So while the players are out there on the field warming up, you can see all the games going on. So that's kind of how I was watching the games today, which is a little bit difficult at times, especially when Dak is doing his little hip dance, shoulder dance. I don't know what kind of dance that was right in front of me the whole time. It is a little distracting.
So before the game, you're just hanging out there watching Dak warm up, do his little hip thrust dance, whatever you want to call it.
And the only thing that was going through my mind is, wow, Sam must be so jealous of me right now because he would love to switch places and be this close to
not necessarily my idol that I think I'm going to be Dak one day. It's just, I think to be Dak for one day, yes, would be an incredible experience. Obviously quarterback of the Cowboys, but on top of it, I marvel at Dak. You know, he's not quite the athlete of, you know, the two guys we saw on Sunday night in Mahomes and Lamar, but Dak's got a little bit of just weird magician making a big play in the right time in him. And it's always just, it's just struck me that way. Just it. And so I marvel at Dak, and you were right there with him, which is fantastic. Well, but back to the game, Taylor, I mean, you're essentially what I just found incredible about that game today. And what is clearly controversial, and you were there for this, but the Herbert play where he's being backed up by the Cowboys defense, he's clearly being brought down and he heaves the ball down the field. Yeah. While he's in the grass, but he's clearly the kind of guy that's going to make a play like that. And it's called a sack in the grass for a player as athletic as Herbert. That's robbery.
It was absolutely unnecessary. Robbery.
There was a terrible call.
But I feel like there was a lot of, from what my Twitter feed was saying, there was a ton of terrible calls all day today. So I think that there was definitely an issue with officiating. And something else that really stood out was that Keenan Allen was really going after it with the referee and a couple of the Cowboys defenders. And Keenan Allen, as most people know, is one of the most like level-head, rational, you know, just good guys in the league. He's never one to cause mischief. He's never one to cause trouble. If anything, he usually gets along with the other team really well. And he just seemed rattled even after the first opening, or for his first, the Chargers' first opening drive. Something just got into his head, and you could see him on the sidelines with Staley for a little bit. And he was kind of like, he didn't ever throw his helmet, but he was visibly frustrated. And it stuck with him all game. He just didn't seem like he was able to snap out of it. And the ref just kept penalizing him. And some of them, I didn't understand where they were coming from. It'll be interesting to see once they go back on, you know, Sunday night and Monday and review those plays and see what the explanation is for a lot of those calls.
I'll be fascinated for sure. Is in that game, you know, there's another one we could talk about, but I mean, Russell Wilson was clearly sacked in the end zone in overtime, and you know, forward progress on a play where he's going backwards into the end zone. Good luck explaining that to me at some point. But regardless, this game though, that play I hated.
Yes. And to compliment your Cowboys, even though I know they're not your Cowboys, but your Cowboys is how their offense totally changed from week one to week two. They were a kick away from beating the Super Bowl champions, and then they beat the Chargers in a completely, entirely different way by having Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott both carry
very involved. Very involved.
I think that Dak had half the amount of pass attempts this game than he did in week one. So it was a completely different offensive game plan, and they executed it well enough.
No, it was interesting. It really interesting from Kellen Moore what happened this week for the Cowboys. And like you said, the juxtaposition between those two, it was very, I mean, frankly, it was very sort of McVay Shanahan, like, when you just don't know what this offense is going to do, what it's going to choose to do week in and week out. And again, massive injury on the offensive line for the Cowboys, and yet they're able to run the ball the way they are. 109 rushing yards from Pollard, 71 from Zeke. Zeke was obviously all over this game, another 26 receiving as well. But I mean, this game is what they can do, and a game where they
just
can
have too
win.
Many offensive weapons for the just looked like they had way too many offensive weapons for those defenders to be able to really cover them all. And there was a couple of plays where you could just see that some of the defenders were a little confused, and there was a lot of open guys.
And yet, like you said, a game that essentially is 17-17 with 5 seconds to go. So from a scoring standpoint, yes, incredible offense, but not scoring. Both defenses really showed up today. Shift to Sunday Night Football, because the fact that it's taken us this long to even really truly talk about what happened 36-35, the Ravens were seconds from being 0-4. Lamar being 0-4 head-to-head against Mahomes, and wow, an incredible fumble and recovery.
And also being 0-2 for the first time since 2015. In all transparency, I had kind of already written this game off. I thought, you know what? We're down our three starting running backs. Marcus Peters is out. Ronnie Stanley is out. We have so many injuries. I just don't think that this is going to be our year. Do I really want to see another Ravens primetime game where I'm going to get heartbroken? I didn't think that they really had a chance. Of course, you always have a glimmer of hope, but I didn't think that this was going to be our game, and they played fantastic.
And there were still even plays that were left out there on the field. I mean, there was the 2-point conversion that was taken away from a very ticky-tack illegal man downfield. And it looked like that might be in the end what cost them. I mean, to think if you're going to end up losing by 2 points there, which is what it was looking like. Look, the Chiefs are on the 32-yard line, and the Ravens have one timeout left, and Butker's over there just waiting to nail a game-winning field goal with no time on the clock. That's where this thing was headed. Absolutely.
It was Lamar Jackson's game, for sure.
The history that Lamar made in this game, to be passing for 200 yards and rushing for 100 yards and doing it in a way.
A quarterback who's never lost a game in September.
It was as if, I mean, he just inspired that team to make one final play. I need the defense to show. If the defense was going to show up once in that game, it needed to be right then and there. That was the time to make an incredible play. And it was, with the strip and the recovery all in one motion. That was it. That's all he needed. That's all they needed. And in the end, it was enough. It was enough to beat the Chiefs on a night when, frankly, the Chiefs were also doing everything right. I mean, two interceptions on defense for the Chiefs. So even defensively, the Chiefs had special plays all over the field. And clearly that offense for Kansas City was running up and down. The touchdown by Kelce is when I first decided to text you about this game, because that's when it dawned on me. Oh, this is just what happens in these games. They're fun. They're back and forth. And then Kansas City, their biggest stars show up and make a huge play when it's necessary. And I thought that was it. When Kelce drags the entire Ravens defense 40 yards.
Well, it's
down
like
the
you
field
tackle Travis Kelce and he still gets another 4 yards in the process of getting tackled.
Not to mention he's making moves like he's Darren Sproles down the field. I don't even understand how Kelce's moving like that.
And I think a lot of the credit has to go to, you look at the offense, the Ravens offense, a lot of the credit has to go to John Harbaugh and what he's been able to do without his three starting running backs. You look at Latavius Murray, Devontae Freeman, he's made these guys look like they've been in his system for quite some time, and they obviously have not.
Not to mention, you're running with a rookie in Tyson Williams. Even if it wasn't about Le'Veon Bell and Latavius Murray and Devontae Freeman coming in, totally new guys off the scrap heap, even just have Tyson Williams when you thought you were going to have coming into the season at the very minimum.
You thought you were
going to
have Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins.
Dobbins. First of all, you think you have Dobbins. Okay, Dobbins is going to be the guy, but we're set. Gus has been here. Let's ride Gus the bus. Here we go. And to lose him and Peters on the same day. And for the run game, in both games, because frankly, the run game was impressive against the Raiders also. For that not to have cost them in two games, that's incredible. And my favorite Harbaugh moment of the night, though, Taylor, was what? That game
when he
came
asked
down.
Lamar.
I mean, he's asking Lamar on fourth
should we
down.
Go you for it?
You want to go
with
for
no
it.
Hesitance, like with not holding back at all, just completely putting it in his hand. Their relationship is absolutely adorable.
And Taylor, they didn't even go to the line and try to draw the Chiefs. They snapped immediately. That was we are going for it on fourth down. That was no BS there. We're taking this ball on fourth down and we are plunging this for the yard to end this game. That is confidence in your guy, and that is one of those symbiotic relationships and moments. It's again, I mean, for a guy whose family's from Philadelphia, who obviously loved that Eagles championship, it's not quite at the level, you know, the magnitude of the moment is not Philly special with Foles going over to Peterson, but it felt like that moment with a quarterback.
It absolutely
coaching,
did.
Having
I can't wait to watch it on Inside the NFL.
It's going to be
got
so
them mic'd
cool
up. You can see everything.
To hear that moment between them, and even Lamar said it to Michelle after the game, you know, yes, I mean, we're going to win it right here. Like, of course, coach, give me the ball. I mean, that's essentially.
I think that they're tired of the narrative that they can't beat the Chiefs and they can't beat Patrick Mahomes. They've never beat him in three prior games. So this was their time to prove it. And there was obviously this game felt significant for the Ravens for so many reasons.
And again, being tired of it is one thing, Taylor, but executing and beating that team on a night when, frankly, look, I understand Tyreek Hill didn't have a spectacular game, but the Chiefs all over the place were making humongous plays. From Tyrann Mathieu to obviously we just talked about what Kelce had done, and Mahomes looked every bit of Mahomes, although the interception, his first in September, am I right, Taylor?
Yeah.
The interception was such a great play defensively because, again, he's basically sacked. I mean, on that play, the defensive scheme was perfect to get to him as quickly as they did. And then, you know, only like Mahomes can to even get the ball off in that situation where he's clearly being taken down. But he throws it up and it's picked off. That was the one mistake, which in the end you could say, I mean, could have cost him the game. I mean, of course, the Allaire fumble cost them in the end, but that interception looms large as well. But on a night when KC made a ton of huge plays, yeah, it's fine to be tired of them beating you, but to actually execute. And to do it the way that they did, which took it took every second on that clock.
And speaking of tired, Sam, not to give the Ravens more credit than they deserve, but they were tired coming off of a Monday night football game, and now back to back prime game. They didn't even have a full week of rest.
And injuries again. Hats off to them. And one other thing, Taylor. Again, you see now with the Ravens at 1-1. And the Chiefs at 1-1, and you wonder, okay, is the AFC up for grabs? I mean, again, two
it
games,
seems like
it's
it,
a little
the,
bit of an overreaction.
The Bills,
but
it used to, I mean, most people think Chiefs, Bills are the two top contenders in the AFC. Both Bills got knocked off by the Steelers week one. Then in week two, the Steelers looked horrible
against the Raiders.
So
and by the way,
top
when you mentioned
the AFC, we don't know.
Well,
it's still up for grabs.
Think about the only undefeateds in the AFC, though. I'm talking about the Raiders and the Broncos, which I don't think anyone would have had that circled to enter the season. Although,
are probably the favorite.
Yeah, let's give you a little credit. I mean, we make predictions on this show for fun, but we also make them so we can at least, you know, take a little credit when it's looking that way. And certainly the season is far from over, but 2-0 Broncos. I mean, you said the Broncos are a playoff team. You had faith in Teddy Bridgewater. You thought this was going to be a difference for that team. And that's as impressive a team as as anyone else right now in the AFC. It looked like they were, Drew Lock was not quite that piece for them turning the ball over too much. Denver is scary on defense, and at 2-0, let's at least pump our chest a little bit. You said you had the Broncos with a special season as a playoff team, and of course, right now being 2-0 in the AFC, that's as special as you can be so far. Right. And one other thing.
Quarterback injuries.
Today, yeah, look. Today was such an interesting day with Carson, with Tua, with Tyrod, with Andy Dalton. Those quarterback injuries are going to loom large. I think the one that could affect the entire league the most feels like
Texans.
Carson. I mean, but maybe I'm biased. I see Carson still as a bigger, like that still, because the Indy is still a team to me that feels like they've got Super Bowl personnel, more so than Chicago or Houston or Miami, right?
I don't think Houston is the better team by any means, but I think that if Deshaun Watson ends up having to get into the game, then that changes the entire...
That of course, is fascinating if that happens. Yes, and Deshaun changes the dynamic of that team more than anything else, but I'll still argue that Indy is the team that could go the furthest if healthy, and Carson being injured derails that significantly if you're turning to Eason, but that's it.
I do think that Justin Fields and Andy Dalton injury does play a significant impact, because now you've got to deal with the fact, are you going to really bench Justin Fields for Andy Dalton?
Look, Dalton, if Dalton's hurt, it's an easy way to go, right? If Dalton's hurt and you're going with Fields, that's the simplest transition any team can ever make. If it's due to injury, you know, then there's nothing really to argue.
I can't recall 100%, but I'm pretty sure that they said that Andy Dalton's MRIs were negative, correct?
So yeah, we don't know exactly. That there's no decision obviously made yet in regards to the quarterback there in Chicago. And Andy even tried to come back into the game as it was, even after tweaking on the sideline run that he made. But that's in a way the easiest thing that can happen for Nagy and his staff is just, okay, Andy's not feeling great. And of course, you can say whatever you want there, right? We all saw him get injured. So no matter what ends up happening, they can say he's just not quite feeling comfortable enough and he's not quite ready. And they can make that transition fairly seamlessly. And I think that's certainly more exciting for me and you to watch Fields out there than Andy Dalton. That's an obvious one. And one other thing I just wanted to mention, Taylor, but 2-0 Carolina Panthers. Panthers with a remarkable win over the Saints. I mean, the Saints in smashing the Packers in week one.
Goes to show that we don't know anything.
No.
The Lions might beat Packers tomorrow night.
I mean, this is...
Crazier things have happened.
Absolutely. Well, Taylor, we will have a ton more to catch up on, and I cannot wait. And thank you again for what you said. And we're so sorry that we had missed last week. But yes, sometimes there is big news that trumps other things in your life. It takes you just
and we can't
a
wait to we can't wait to meet baby and find out what his name's going to be eventually.
True.
So send in those name suggestions, because Sam needs help.